Hi, I'm Sanjay, and I'm a serial entrepreneur for the kicks, and I also invest in startups.
And I'm Shannon, a recent college grad working on building my first company.
And this is Startup Days,
the show where we take a behind-the-lens look at starting and growing a company from the perspective of founders and investors.
Hey there, and today in the podcast room, I've got Karen Anderson, who you might also know as Tiny Doors ATL. Welcome to the podcast, Karen.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How's it going?
It's awesome. Thank you.
So it's a really interesting kind of the things that you work on, Tiny Doors, and a lot of people seem to know Tiny Doors, especially here in Atlanta. But I want to talk to you about first your background, and let's then get up to Tiny Doors first. So born and raised where?
Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm pointing to my hand right now, as everyone from Michigan does.
Is that like an automatic thing when
it's
you grow up in Michigan?
So you're
like, do they teach you that in school?
Yeah, everybody does it. It's just where you're from, Ann Arbor, in the pad of your thumb.
So for those of you listening and not seeing this, she's pointing at right below her thumb. So it's right there in that I don't know what you call that. What do you call that area of the thumb?
Pad of your thumb, right there.
Pad of the thumb.
Yeah, and that's where it is. I know people who have tattoos right there to show, like on their hand to show the city that they're
really
from. Yeah, it's very common.
Man, that's pretty cool. When did you move down to Atlanta?
I moved to Atlanta in 2013, right after art school.
2013, so, right after art school. Okay.
Moved from Ann Arbor to New Jersey, went to Rutgers.
Yeah.
Did my time there, got an art degree, and then immediately moved to Atlanta.
Okay. And why'd you go to Rutgers, of all places?
It's a great school.
Okay.
My grades were not good enough for University of Michigan. And I really liked the Rutgers art program.
Uh-huh.
I liked New Jersey a lot.
Okay.
So, you know.
And so, yeah, so you're still in that snowy area. So I guess for you, it was no different. And,
no, it was
but
about
now 10
degrees warmer. It wasn't that big of a deal. And the hurricane kind of chased me away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went through Hurricane Sandy there.
Sandy, yeah. Okay.
And then, I love Atlanta.
And so what brought you to Atlanta? Why'd you pick Atlanta?
Love. So my partner started Girls Rock Camp ATL.
Uh-huh.
And that was her master's thesis, and she put this program together, and I came down and volunteered. I have a background in music.
Okay.
And I came and volunteered teaching bass, and we just kind of fell for each other. She brought me here right after art school,
Yeah. So Girls Rock ATL, which is...
Girls Rock Camp, yeah.
Girls Rock Camp
mm-hmm.
in ATL. And so that's just teaching girls to play instruments? Is that...
It's kind of like feminist rock camp for girls. It's pretty great.
Okay.
Girls, I think it's... Oh, it was 11
uh-huh.
to 17.
Okay, so kind of middle school up until high school,
yeah.
kind of? Okay.
Yeah, and they come and they don't have to have any musical experience. You learn an instrument, and then they write one song with people they've never met before over the course of a week, and then they perform at Variety Playhouse or other venues.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Really a cool thing.
And so out of that program, how many kids have gone on and taken on like musical careers?
I know at least three.
At least three. That's awesome. And the program's only been around for what, a couple of years?
No, 9 years.
Oh, 9 years.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But still, three is
pretty great.
Yeah, impactful. And music, just like art, I think it's super important in terms of like creativity and all these other things. I don't think we've talked about this yet, but I used to play the cello, actually. So I played from third grade up until 10th grade or something like that. Unfortunately quit because I moved to Atlanta and the band director here was no bueno compared to the awesome orchestra teacher that I had in Kentucky. I think those skills actually add a lot to life. And it's amazing that more people don't do that.
Yeah, I think they do. And it translates into lots of other things. I know lots of artists who also play music and scientists who play music.
Yep.
It really kind of runs the gamut.
So did you ever play music in a band or anything else like that?
I did. That's kind of more of how I moved to New Jersey. I was in a touring jazz/punk band with
jazz
saxophones.
Jazz punk. That's an interesting mix.
Saxophones,
there.
But not ska.
Saxophones, but not ska. Okay.
I dropped out of college. I studied radio in college.
Oh.
And dropped out.
Oh, so you didn't,
out.
Is that Rutgers or?
No, I went to just community college.
Oh, community college.
I was kind of doing my own thing, trying
to
figure out what I wanted to do. And then dropped out and joined a band.
Okay.
And I got so lucky. Lucky that people liked it and we toured the country. It was fantastic.
Wow. So did you guys play with anybody that we would know?
Probably not.
Okay.
It was just a good time.
Okay. How many years of good time? Was that just a year, a couple years?
Four and a half.
Four and a half years. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the band that you were with, it was all the same folks the whole time?
Only three of us that were there the whole time from start to finish. And then when I decided to quit and go to art school, the band ended.
Okay. Ah, so you made it all implode, huh? It was,
yeah.
It was, you were the linchpin. It was all up to you to keep this thing together.
It all is always about the bass players.
And yeah, so do you still play now?
I do sometimes.
Yeah? Yeah? Play with anybody here in Atlanta?
No, just for my own self.
Okay.
I'll just, you know.
Have you thought about it?
No, I am so happy and busy. And honestly, I did, now that I have found something that feels like my calling, it feels like what I, it makes me fire on all cylinders.
Yeah.
I realized that that was always lacking for me.
Yeah.
When I was playing music, you know, the band would write songs I was proud of. We'd make albums I was proud of, but it wasn't what I went to bed thinking about and what
right.
I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
And this is, and
yeah.
it does. And so now that I have that, I couldn't possibly get into another band at this point. I would know that what I really wanted to be doing was public art, was
yeah.
free art.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I talk about that a lot of times that, you know, I think there's something out there for everybody of something that you go to sleep at night and you think about, and the first thing you think about mm-hmm. in the morning, you wake up thinking about that. And then you know that that's the thing that you want, you should be doing.
Yeah. And once you find it, everything else kind of feels silly.
none of it matters, right?
Right.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, that's happened to me, and it's awesome that it's happened for you too. So let's talk about the thing that it's happened to you with. What is this thing? This Tiny Doors thing?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm still figuring out every day what
yeah.
it is and kind of respecting it. I like to say that my job title is Protector of the Magic at this
Protector
point.
Protector of the Magic. So that's the awesome thing about artists, I think, is that you guys make up just titles.
I mean,
randomly.
That
it's
is
awesome,
that's
isn't
what
it?
I do all day. I protect this project that Atlanta has kind of created, but I will stop being so ambiguous and I'll tell you what it actually is. So I have always loved miniatures. When I was a kid, I loved them. I threw away all my dollhouse furniture, made everything myself out of clay. It was terrible, but I loved it.
Yeah.
We were always
Did
cutting.
You paint it as well? Or
no, I made it,
was
it out
just clay
of
stuff?
Modeling clay.
Modeling clay, okay.
Like for animation.
Okay.
And then there was always little bits of it in the shag carpet in my mom's house.
Yeah.
It was awful.
What about those little pewter figurines? Did you ever play
no.
with those?
No, those were already made. I wanted
right.
to make everything.
Okay.
I wanted to make the second hand on the clock myself.
Okay.
Like everything.
Because I used to paint those little pewter
those
figurines.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
And I have an appreciation for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I was so obsessed with having to make every detail myself.
Right. Okay.
But I was, and I kind of still am.
I mean, just because of that, I appreciate the things that you do, because I tell you what, it was really hard painting those little figurines.
It's hard to work
yeah,
small, but once you get used to it, just big things seem intimidating, you know? So I've always loved miniatures. I've always loved sculpture. It's been where my heart is. It's kind of my party trick. You can hand me a piece of clay and I can just make it whatever.
Right.
You know, and I thought everybody could. I just did. They figured it came so easily to me. I thought everyone could do it.
Right.
Like people who are great
yeah,
at math.
It's obvious,
and they're
yeah.
like, it's easy. It's math.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. So I wanted to do sculpture. I'm from Ann Arbor, and in Ann Arbor, there are fairy doors.
Okay.
And I like to give the shout out to fairy doors because they started when I was in my early 20s. I was in a punk rock band. I didn't care.
Yeah.
But I liked that they were bringing people together.
Yeah.
I saw these people gathering around the tiny doors, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's street art.
Right.
But it's gathering people. Okay. But I'm not really, you know, don't let the pink hair fool you. I'm not super fairies, gnomes, pixie dust kind of person. I'm a little more grounded.
Yeah.
I like to talk about what's actually there.
And is Fairy Doors, was it done by one person, a group of people?
So it was one person who started it in Ann Arbor. And he wanted to, and I've talked to him about it. He said he wanted to create this culture of sort of, you know, people can interact with fairies, kind of like a fairy culture.
Right.
And I think that's awesome. And yeah. I think it's a great fit for Ann Arbor. But it didn't feel like a good fit for Atlanta. I wanted this to be about everyone. And in such a big way. It's so funny that so the first door that I did, I was like, I'm going to try this. And I studied social media for artists when I was in college.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to turn it on its head a little bit. I'll give it a hashtag. I didn't start the Tiny Doors Instagram immediately at all. I just put the hashtag there so people could connect with one another.
Right.
Like, what if it's not about connecting to fairies and gnomes? It's about connecting to your neighborhood
yeah.
and to other people.
Yeah.
So I made a door that looked like the Krog Tunnel.
Okay.
And the Krog Tunnel is a 100-year-old train yard underpass.
Yep.
And it's constantly, constantly being painted. Last night I drove through there and I felt a little spacey because there was so much spray paint fume in my head. It's like, whoa, just driving through the tunnel.
Right.
It's constant.
Yeah.
And the youngest person I know who's painted there was 4 and a half, and the oldest is 75.
Wow.
Constantly, and it's all kinds of people. And so that, and I live right next to it.
Right.
So I was like, this is where I'm going to start. And I have so much respect for the Atlanta art scene. I thought, I just want to interject. I just want to put my voice in there, echo what I'm seeing, you know. I'm not trying to start a movement. I was just trying to do something unique and authentic to myself.
Right.
And this felt right.
So and what time frame was this?
When was this? 2014. I'd been in Atlanta for a year volunteering at Girls Rock Camp, you know, working, other things. I had another startup that I was trying to do, but all of that kind of just went to the wayside.
Yeah.
Because the first door I did was on the Krog Tunnel, and it looked like the Krog Tunnel.
Okay.
It had the... Okay, so it had cement all around it. It's a cement tunnel. And then I did like a graffiti style crog on the front of it and really made it look like it belonged in the tunnel.
And how long after you installed it did somebody take a picture of it? How long did it take?
Well, I took a picture and pretended that I found it. I was like, look at this cute thing I found. You know.
So that was from social media class, right? Seeding the...
Right, but you know, nobody cared.
Yeah.
And nobody cared for a long time. It was, I put it in July, August, September, and then late in October. And I just looked at it all the time and it looked the same.
Like, and nobody disturbed it? Nobody did anything?
No, I thought for sure it was going to get painted over.
Okay.
Everything gets painted over.
Right.
I thought I was going to get kicked, you know, and I'm sure it gets peed on, but I couldn't tell. So I was trying to figure out what, you know, nobody cares. Okay, that's fine. I can continue with other things. And then one day I saw about 8 or 9 tiny cats all lined up in front of the door like they were waiting for someone to feed them.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
And did you know who did that?
No idea. I don't know who did any of this.
Do you know, even to this day, do you know who did that?
No.
You don't? Okay.
I do not know.
Okay.
And then I found a box of flying biscuits, like tiny, miniaturized.
Wow.
And then in late October, I found a tiny newspaper about the tiny door. Like, it was a tiny Atlanta Journal-Constitution that was about the tiny door.
And there was actually a story. You could read it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I still have it. I have met the person who did that, but I had no idea. And I, you know, I didn't know him previously.
Okay.
It just happened.
And why did they say why they did that? Why they
I've never asked him why. You know, I didn't think to ask him why because of all of it just kind of makes sense to me. Of course you would want to.
Have a newspaper on your door.
Why wouldn't you? So... That started happening, and I was floored because it was not the reaction that I thought it would be.
What did you think? You thought people
would
take pictures?
I thought it would just get painted over.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, they're just going to make their own version.
Right.
And that has not happened still. It's 3 years old, that door.
Okay.
I have it painted over by other artists now to keep it authentic to the tunnel, to keep it changing.
Okay.
But from there...
Has that original one ever been vandalized?
Yes.
Okay.
But not badly.
Okay.
The worst thing that ever happened to it was when the Beltline came through the Krog Tunnel, they had to raise the sidewalk.
Okay.
And they cracked my door off and threw it away.
Oh.
And it was in a 45 minutes. I drove by. I look at it at least twice a day. So I drove by. I looked at it. It was there.
Right.
It's always there.
Yeah.
And I came back and it was gone.
Oh.
And I was like, so I had to go ask the construction workers in the best Spanish that I could where the tiny door was. And they... looked at me like I was as crazy as I felt in that moment. I was like, I'm not mad. If you have this, please, please give it back. And they didn't. And then,
so you had to remake the door?
About an hour later, I got a phone call and they said, we found it in the trash.
Oh, they found it. Okay.
So they gave it back. I framed it. Now I take it to schools. When I do a speech, I let kids, you know, look at it and touch it.
Yeah.
And I remade it. It's made out of resin.
Okay.
So now all the doors that are public, I do a molding and casting process. I hire someone who does that for me. So I make them out of wood and then she makes a mold in silicone and then pours resin into that mold. So they're all actually exact replicas of an original sculpture.
Oh, wow. Okay. So all the doors are not the same, right?
Right. No, they're designed to look like their neighborhood.
Okay. So each sculpture then is a one-off? Or you keep the molds,
there
I assume, if you need to replace?
There are a couple molds that I reuse, you know, because the architecture in the neighborhood is so similar. I'll use that mold again.
Yeah.
Molds are really expensive. And then just decorate the door super differently, paint it differently,
Right.
have everything around it, the stairs, the whatever, be
right.
different enough.
But you hold on to the molds, I'm assuming, in case you ever need to replace the door. it gets damaged.
I do absolutely have to replace doors. Yeah. Only one has ever been fully stolen and not returned. And I won't say which one.
Okay.
Because I replaced it within hours.
Okay.
So that their door doesn't, their stolen door has no value. There's no record that it was ever stolen.
Do we need to put an APB out on this door?
No.
How long ago was that stolen door?
I tell myself stories about all the vandalism that happens. I make up like best case scenario stories in my head.
Right.
Because
why it happened.
They get vandalized all the time and I try and I look at it and you know there's that moment of why would you do this? And then I kind of make up a story about the narrative of what happened. Like this person that stole the door was drunk, came out of a bar, saw it. It was loose for whatever reason. They ripped it out the wall, and now all their friends tell them they're a jerk when they see it in their house.
There you go.
that's the story in my head.
I'm assuming you don't have camera footage anywhere.
No.
CCTV.
And honestly, I wouldn't pursue that. I'm not interested in Tiny Door's justice. I really am not. There's so much.
I see a whole TV show happening here. No. Tiny Door's justice.
Tiny cops.
Tiny cops.
Is not something I'm interested in for multiple reasons. And one is that I don't want to turn my attention to that.
Right. Well, I was just wondering if it'd be more interesting just to know
to
why.
Know?
That, like,
no.
Did
it would
they
probably
trip
break
on
my heart
it
to see what
and
someone
be like,
actually
oh.
do it? No, you couldn't trip on it. It was definitely stolen.
So what's next? So what other things are you working on that are interesting, that are tiny,
you know,
or not tiny?
I just finished.
Is it all tiny? Is it always tiny?
So far.
Okay.
You know, because that's what speaks to me, and that's a good way to reflect.
Yeah.
There's so much great giant art in Atlanta.
Right.
It's just amazing. I have so much I'm in awe of what the artists here can do. And so I spend my time trying to reflect the things I'm in awe of. And when I see something that I super love and it feels like Atlanta to me, I try to find a way to highlight that thing. So, for instance, we did the Atlanta Beltline Lantern Parade.
Okay.
I led tiny lantern making workshops, and we made tiny lanterns out of ping pong balls.
Oh, neat.
That actually lit up and carried them through the lantern parade.
Okay.
The Atlanta Pride Parade, I just did a piece that I'm so proud of for that. I worked with an artist called ATL TV Head.
Okay.
He's an arts engineer.
Arts engineer.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
And so I came to him, and I said, I have this dream I want to make. A parade float pulled behind a truck, a fully remote control parade float.
So a tiny truck.
A tiny truck, and you can buy an RC truck.
Right, okay.
But I want an actual parade float that's being pulled by the truck, like you would see in Atlanta's Pride Parade. We don't have those freestanding floats. We have the pulled behind a truck floats.
Right.
That's very Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not the Rose Bowl. So it's like, so I want to get a truck. So I built to the scale of the truck.
Okay.
So the truck is like a 110 scale. What I usually do is 112, which is 1 inch equals 1 foot.
Okay.
This is larger.
Okay.
So an RC truck is larger than I usually work. So I built the parade float to the scale of the truck.
Okay. So it would look right proportionally.
Right.
Okay.
And so this arts engineer 3D printed an actual axle for the truck and then a linchpin ball socket joint
for the hitch
actual 3D printed hitch.
Okay.
And
because RC trucks generally don't come with a hitch.
No, they do not.
That's an add-on accessory
so
you got to get from your dealer.
There's a hitch, so it looks, if you were to flip it upside down, the anatomy of it looks like an actual, if you flipped a truck and a parade float upside down.
Right.
And it is so durable.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can drive it. I've driven around in the woods. I was testing it to see if it would last through the whole Pride Parade, and they put us right at the front.
Okay.
So it is a Ford Bronco, like a 70s-style blue Ford Bronco.
Right.
And then I put rainbow stripes down the side. I actually just used rainbow ribbon, and it looks real. and then the float itself I made out of different box tops.
Okay.
And, you know, very sturdy, reinforced with wood, and layered it. Kind of like a cake, but covered it in moss, living moss.
Okay.
So it has sort of a green, it looks like grass.
Grass, yep.
And then there's a door on the top that's open and silver, and it spins around to represent, obviously, in the gay pride parade, you don't want people feeling like there's a closed door or you're in the closet or anything
right,
like that.
It's right.
This symbolic of openness.
Openness, yeah,
it's this
I like it.
Sparkly door that spins around on a servo motor.
Okay.
And then there's a giant rainbow that is three-dimensional that goes over the top of it.
Okay. And so what would be next then in terms of step after that? So you've got one car. You're going to do like a fleet of cars for the next parade?
I don't know. If other people want to attempt this tiny parade float feat, it was an endeavor. It was more engineering than I had to do in a tiny installation.
Because I could see you do like a fleet of autonomous vehicles that are all like linked together.
That'd be amazing.
And they just kind of go on their own, right?
But you know, and this project has really made me appreciate there being something in the power of it being small and simple. Does it really have more impact to have an entire parade of tiny trucks?
That's
or
interesting.
Do you have a giant parade with one...
Just one tiny truck.
Tiny truck at the beginning.
Yeah. And so you were right at the front of the parade, which was probably good. You probably would have gotten crushed somewhere in the middle.
We would have been okay. I rolled with a big posse.
We
definitely protected the truck.
Right.
And I drove it for part of the time. And it was funny because we had to have this really odd discussion about what does the truck act like?
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Because it's a remote control truck, and they can go every which way, frontwards, backwards, around in circles. So is the truck acting like a truck in a parade where it's just plugging straight ahead?
Straight ahead, okay.
Or does it go back and forth? And what we came up with was that it acts like a mascot. Like it's kind of mischievous. And so we don't even like to show who's driving it. Like it's a small remote control. So the person who's driving, whether it's me or ATL TV head, we can just drive the truck around and we can zip back and forth and sort of like when somebody yells tiny doors, we'll zip over to them and stop.
Nice.
And they just look kind of shocked.
That it happened.
Like what? How does this truck know what I'm saying? You know, it's so funny. And because we're not looking at them.
Right. Oh, you guys are looking forward.
Right.
Okay.
So it's taken on this character that I never thought about, but it acts like a mascot. And that has been really fun to figure out too.
Yeah, that's cool. So, you know, one of the things that you talked about before we started recording was that you have this artist name, Tiny Door, ATL, and then your real name, obviously, Karen. Why do you all do that? So I've dealt with a couple of you artists. You got, ATL TV head?
What every good artist will tell you, which is I only speak for myself.
Okay.
When I started Tiny Doors ATL, there were other people involved at the beginning. One is still, we still talk pretty much every day.
Right.
But she has another career, you know, and this became something.
Is this your mold maker?
No.
Oh, this is somebody else.
Yeah, another friend. And, you know, so it was multiple people at the beginning.
Okay.
And over the course of a year, it became my artist name.
Okay.
So actually the course of like 2 years, it became my artist name. And so I still treat it like it's a larger organization, but it is just me now. Like now I can claim it as my own artist name. The other reason is that I'm not interested in them being Tiny Doors by Karen Anderson. It loses itself. They're not about me.
Right. It's about something bigger.
The one that's pink and has the rainbow is like the rest of them,
For those of you listening and have never seen a picture of Karen, she's got pink hair. She's wearing a shirt with pink flowers on it. So totally into pink glasses too.
It's a neutral in my wardrobe. Yeah. But the rest of them are not pink. They look like the neighborhood they belong to. I spent a year getting to know Grant Park, talking to the city council people, talking to business owners and children and figuring out how I could make something that reflected their neighborhood. So the name Tiny Doors ATL is exactly what it is. It's a descriptor.
Right.
It describes what this project is and what I'm interested in doing. I'm interested in making tiny doors for ATL.
Right.
I'm not interested in making tiny doors about myself.
Yeah.
And so this project has become the one that people seem to look to. You know, when I first started, I was the only Tiny Doors anything except for the Keebler Elf project.
Is that a thing?
On Instagram. Yeah, the Keebler Elves did some tiny thing.
Wow.
And now there are like 30 in other cities around the world. I'm now seeing some in Australia popping up. Yeah, all over. And some of them try to follow my model.
And none of those you've been involved with. Those are just on their own.
Those aren't me. Yeah.
Okay.
And I watch them do it, and it's occasionally they'll call and ask for advice. And what I'll say is start with one and see if it speaks to your city. I didn't start this thinking this Atlanta's going to love it.
Yeah.
Atlanta did and does, and I'm so grateful. And that's what I mean by protector of the magic is it's my job now that Atlanta loves it. To make sure it stays true to Atlanta.
Yeah.
To make sure that I don't take sponsorships I shouldn't, you know, or lead it down the wrong path. to try and really stay true to what Atlanta is asking for.
And so it's not just Tiny Doors. Let's make sure the listeners know this, that you do other tiny things as well, right? Mm-hmm. So you've had some interesting things. Let's talk about some of those. What's the most interesting non-door tiny thing?
Well,
you've
the
done?
Parade float, obviously.
Other than the parade float,
you know, I've done some fun workshops, like tiny lantern making, tiny garden building. I think that those are, you know, I really enjoy branching out and more of building this brand, building this familiarity of people with Tiny Doors ATL. I also have a birthday party for the first door every year.
Nice.
The first year it was at the Krog Tunnel. There were flies all over the cupcakes because it was a mess.
And they weren't tiny flies.
So
they were big,
hot.
Big flies.
Yeah, it was July. And like 50 people came.
Oh, that's nice.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
And then the next year I had the second birthday party at a cafe. And it's a very large cafe. And I think it was about 200, 300 people. And I was like, oh, you know, that was fun. And the next year I turned it into a block party, asked multiple businesses to open and host kind of an artist market where people could sell tiny art.
Nice.
I just say to all these artists, make anything you want as long as it's under 7 inches.
Okay.
So that everyone...
So there wasn't a price point maximum.
It
was a size maximum.
Okay. So that we could fit a lot of art in a small space and people who were fans of tiny art could get some. And it doesn't have to be made by me.
Right.
You know? And so I did that and 700 people came.
Wow.
To a birthday party for a tiny door. And I'm like, what are you telling your friends you're doing? Do they get it when you say you're going to a Tiny Doors birthday party? And more, I guess people do, but I'm still shocked. I'm still shocked when people show up to anything.
That's funny.
It was a lot of fun though.
Yeah. Well, I think what you've uncovered is you've ignited a passion and an interest in people of engaging with one another. I think it goes back to what you said in the beginning, right? It's not about the door necessarily. It's about the community.
Right. That's what's interesting to me. And in every new door I put together, I try to think of how people can interact with each other in that space. One has a bulletin board. One opens into a tree and people leave things in there all the time.
Okay.
And there's always kind of some way that you can interact. One of my very favorite things, I don't post about it enough because I just think it's so cool. The Center for Puppetry Arts
has a
wheelchair.
I've seen that door. That's really neat. Yeah.
And it's the only way into their space is up this 2-story wheelchair ramp.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ramp, let's say.
Right.
It's for any kind of wheels or feet.
Right, yeah.
So with the Center for Puppetry Arts, they said, okay, great. You know, we want a door. We want to do this and that. But can you not adhere it to the building? I'm like, no, I have to adhere it to the building or it's going to get stolen. And they said, well, you know, we got to figure out a way that you don't adhere it. And I said, what if we replicate the wheelchair ramp and it becomes the base, you know? So it's, at one point it weighed about 100 pounds. Now it weighs a little bit less because we chiseled out some cement. But it weighs about 50 pounds. And it is, I believe it to be, the world's first outdoor miniature wheelchair ramp.
Oh, we need to get Guinness on this.
Get
a record for this thing.
Well, you know, it fits to the size of the door and it is 1/12 scale. And it's if it were real life, it would be a 2-story wheelchair ramp.
I think we need to get the Guinness Book of World Records on this and get you in there.
But I love that for it. I love that, you know, it is, every door is literally wheelchair accessible. They're all free to visit.
Right.
There are 12 now.
That are public.
Yes.
Right. There's many more that are non-public.
Many more that are private installations, but these are all free to visit. They're all public and they're all accessible however you want to get there.
Okay.
Which, you know, I take pride in, and it really has restricted where I can install. It has to be somewhere that is public enough that you're going to want people, because we get tens of thousands of people following the map that I have online.
Have you had any issues with cities, counties, anybody saying this was not allowed and defacement or anything else like that, like getting ticketed or anything
ticketed,
like that?
No.
Because I know there's another artist in the Atlanta community that has had an issue recently.
There are issues. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, most of them have permission. So the two in Grant Park proper are actually insured by Grant Park. Now, the insurance is reverse. It's if someone hurts themselves on a door. It's not if someone hurts my door, I have to fix it. But if they hurt themselves on the door, Grant Park covers it. So I had to get permission from...
So wait, Grant Park is paying for the insurance, not you?
Yes.
Okay.
So those have permission from the city to be installed there. And the original installation proposals they rejected because the area was too historic. And I respect that.
Okay.
I respect that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think they were surprised that I respected that, but I was like, it's your job to protect the city, and that's what you're doing.
Right.
And they said, so here's the tree. Don't use any nails. I'm like, okay. So there's only one door that is still technically illegal. And that one is on the Krog Tunnel, and that space is a, you know, it's an art space that is pretty common law. So no, I don't have that issue because at this point I only install doors, and this isn't because I'm not trying to shame any other street artists. I believe that free art for everyone is the number one most important thing.
Yeah.
For doors, for small art, for small sculpture especially, it needs to have a community that wants it.
Yeah.
I can't put a sculpture in an area that hasn't asked for it and expect it to survive.
So are all the doors that are out there are doors that people have asked you to do? Every single one?
Most of them.
Okay.
All except for the Krog Street. Couple of years. Yeah.
Except
yeah.
For the Krog
Street first few, you know, not as much, but now definitely.
And who asks you? Is it government folks? Is it citizens? Who is it?
Everybody.
Really?
Yeah, anybody can apply.
So if a citizen asks you, do you then turn around and talk to the local government and say, hey, can we do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if the citizen asks, they kind of, I'm looking for the right person who is involved in their community.
Right.
And wants to help it happen.
Right.
So Annie from Grant Park and I have become good friends over the course of, you know, she asked for the door.
Yeah.
And originally her ask was for, you know, can we name it after these people? Can we theme it after these people who have been important to our neighborhood? And I explained that I don't theme them.
Right.
Because I want them to be for everyone. And once we write someone's name on a door, it's their door.
Right.
And that doesn't ignite the passion in me or anyone else I know.
Yeah.
To maintain it unless, you know, it doesn't need to have that. What if we made it for all of Grant Park? Make it look like Grant Park.
Yeah.
So anyone can apply. But usually it, you know, takes like a year of getting to know a neighborhood and getting to know people because I only want to do sculptures that there's someone on the other end who wants them and cares about them.
Yeah.
I still do. I spend like between 10 and 20 hours a week taking care of the doors.
Wow.
I visit them all the time.
Really? Wow.
So that's, I make a commitment to the door when I install it.
Yeah.
But
that's a good chunk of time there that you're spending.
Right. Yes.
Going around to
it
these doors.
It is a good chunk of time. And there are a lot of people around town with my phone number who text me pictures of the doors. Here's what it looks like today.
Check in on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
My heart skips a beat when I get a picture sometimes because I'm like, oh no.
What happened?
What happened? But, you know, usually it's the vandalism has gotten more deliberate and less frequent.
Okay.
People know what they're doing now.
Right. Okay.
Either they want to mess it up or they don't. It's not so much accidental anymore.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's better or worse.
I don't know. I try
not
to worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different thing. And if you think about, you know, say 50,000 people use the Beltline in any given week and usually nothing happens, that's 0%.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
You know? And if something happens, the percentage is so low that I try to keep that in my head.
Yeah.
Almost nobody messed with this door.
That's good. That's a good way of looking. That's a silver lining. I like that. So you've got some good news coming out. You're getting covered in a pretty big way. You want to talk about that real quick?
Well, you know, so there are a few emails and phone calls you get in your life, if you're lucky, that will just knock you out of your chair.
Yeah.
The first one for me was Instagram.
Like the company?
Yeah, Instagram.
They emailed you.
I got an email from Instagram.
Okay.
And of course, I thought it was, you know, total lie.
You thought it was a phishing scam?
Total lie.
Somebody's trying to get into your account?
Yeah. I mean, for real, this is not happening.
And what did they say? What do they want?
Well, they said, you know, hey, this is, I'll just say your name was Sarah. Hey, this is Sarah from Instagram. I'd love to talk to you about, you know, doing a feature if you're interested. And, you know, if you are, just email me back. And
okay.
I was like, yeah. At this point, I, you know, I'm an artist.
You're like Nigerian prince.
Right.
Sarah from Instagram.
Well, my
same
friends
person.
Like to make this joke that I'm the only person who's going to get an actual email from a Nigerian prince. Like, I'm just going to be there, like, come have dinner with me and this Nigerian prince. And they're going to be like, of course you got that email after the Instagram thing. So Instagram emailed me and I did this thing. I like to filter sometimes. And what I said was, of course, I'd love to speak with you. I'm an artist who's mostly in the studio, which is true. I don't spend a lot of time in front of the computer.
Uh-huh.
You know, please give me a phone call.
Okay.
Thinking that call's not going to come.
Not going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah. Then my phone rang.
Like how long?
An hour.
Okay.
And it said Facebook.
Which is Owen's Instagram.
Caller ID. And I looked Owen's at it. Instagram, yeah. And I looked at my wife and I said, we're going to be late.
You were on your way to something.
We were on our way out the door. And I was like, forget it. Sit down. I have to take this.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the Pope calls or right. Facebook
you
calls.
Take
you take the call. You take the call.
So I took it and she's like, hey, it's Sarah. I'm like, hey, yeah. Yes, of course. Anything you want. What can I do for you? Let me jump through all the hoops. And also why?
Why?
Why on earth are you calling me?
Right.
30,000 followers. I had 34 at that time because I remember looking at it going, what is she seeing here that I'm not seeing?
Right.
I don't think I'm that special.
Right.
I'm an artist who makes street art. I have 34,000 followers. What? And she said, well, we have scouts. And, you know, they've noticed what you're doing and that no one else is doing this thing that you're doing.
Okay.
And also we have an algorithm that you triggered.
Uh-oh. You're in the machine now.
I'm in the machine. She was like, you aren't collecting people. You're connecting people.
Okay.
So it's not as though I'm a collector who's collected all these 34,000 from all over the world by using the right hashtags.
Right.
It's that I'm a hub and they can see it.
I see.
So these 34,000 people who are following me have centralized. They are all in Atlanta and they are following each other.
Ah, interesting.
I was floored.
So you were the commonality for a lot of those folks.
So I'm connecting people in Atlanta. I had no idea.
Which is the whole point of Tiny Doors in the first place.
It absolutely is.
Okay.
So that was hugely flattering. And I, you know, write that on my tombstone. Connected people in Atlanta. it was something that really spoke to me. It felt really good. So I was super excited. I spent 3 days. They sent me a long list. Do this shot, do that shot, do this and that. And I spent 3 days getting all the shots they wanted. Do a hyperlapse of this door. I mean, it was really specific.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And then they used a photo I did not even send them. But the rest of it was in the story. And I was, so it was in the, they did an Instagram. Their whole story, the whole day was about Tiny Doors ATL.
Wow.
And then they sent that to all the other official Instagrams, Instagram Brazil, Denmark, Japan, and they've all featured, at least Instagram Brazil, Denmark, and Japan, have used that story and just translated the language that they put in it. So now Tiny Doors ATL has been on official Instagram in multiple countries.
And so what did that do to your follower count from 34,000 to
what? That
was
in September. It is now December and it's at 72.
Wow.
But I will tell you almost that the doubling. Top four cities are Atlanta, Marietta, Decatur, and Jakarta.
Jakarta?
Yeah.
So, fascinating.
So that, I think, is so symbolic of what this project is. It's super centralized. Atlanta, Marietta, Decatur out of 72,000 is a huge number of people that are super local. And then there's that, like, X factor of people around the world who are paying attention.
It clearly seems that you need to do a Tiny Doors Jakarta.
I mean, if somebody in Jakarta wants to spend 20 hours a week maintaining Tiny Doors, I'm happy to go do it, but I don't make abandoned art.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Even my private installations, I'll go visit and take care of because have you heard of broken window theory?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm not about to put a door in your neighborhood that nobody cares about and let it fall apart. And that is the problem that I'm seeing. With a lot of people who are emulating this project.
So they do a one-off and then they never pay attention
or
again.
Or they do 20 and then they just get upset that they're falling apart. And it's kind of like...
That nobody's maintaining them, but you're the maintainer.
Do you think that this giant city full of people doesn't mess with the doors?
Right.
You know, like I think they think because I don't talk about the vandalism that it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And it does all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything else big news coming wise?
Oh, yeah. Oh, just this Oprah.
Oprah?
Yeah.
Oprah? You mean Gail and Oprah?
Yeah, that Oprah.
Oh, what's going on with them?
You might know her from a couple places.
She gets around.
She does. So
she's from not far from you on the thumb, right?
Another email that
she's Chicago.
I just absolutely did not believe was from O Magazine.
Wait, was it Oprah that sent it herself?
Yes, no.
No,
no, definitely not.
I think she doesn't actually work on it, right?
But... I did some research on the person who sent it to me. I went immediately after I got this email.
Yeah.
I went to Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Bought an O Magazine. I was like...
You'd never read an O Magazine before?
I had read them, but I didn't have the current edition in my possession.
Yeah.
So I went and got it, and I opened it up, and there was a picture of the person who had emailed me.
Oh, my gosh.
Like a quarter of the page.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, okay. So either this person knows who to say they are, or they're that person.
Yeah.
You know, and the email was, you know, congratulations, we like your work and want to feature you in this. And then the email that says congratulations is obviously not true. right? Again, even after Instagram, I'm like, no.
Unless
way.
You're applying for college, other than that,
there's not
you,
a thing.
No, nobody sends you congratulation
no,
emails.
Unless you're Oprah.
Unless you're Oprah.
And yeah, congratulations is exactly what I mean, holy cow.
So they're doing a whole story, or so, they, well, by the time okay. you hear this, maybe they've already done the story.
Is small. It is just a couple sentences. So they do every month five things.
Okay. Oprah's five favorite things?
Not is five that, favorite things. I think she thing? Might only do that once a year. I think she just put that
okay, okay.
up. But like five things every edition,
okay.
every month.
Five awesome things.
Five awesome things. Yeah, it's like five things they're grateful yeah. for that are making them smile.
Okay.
And it's one of those things.
One of those five things.
In January.
So as we're recording this, the issue is not out yet.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen once it hits the stands?
Okay, so my theory is always nothing.
Okay.
I thought nothing was going to happen with Tiny Doors.
Okay.
I thought nothing was going to happen with Instagram.
I think we've, in this half an hour, we've clearly proved you have no idea that you know what you're talking about in terms of, because every single one of these things that you say nothing happened, something has happened.
You know, but I like surprises.
Yeah.
I like to be surprised.
Yeah.
So I'll be surprised if anything comes of this. But I would like... Here's what I would like to have happen. This is what I'm manifesting.
Okay.
I love to do private installations. Private installations enable me to take better care of Tiny Doors.
Okay.
That are already in Atlanta.
The public art Tiny Doors.
The public art. The 12 that are out there that I have committed myself to.
Right.
The more time and energy and money I put into, or the money I make from doing private installations, the more I have to give to this project that I love and that yeah. I learn in the process.
Yeah.
So what I want to do, and I'm just going to manifest it here.
Okay. We're going to wish this into happening.
We're going to wish this into happening. I want a major company, let's say Starbucks.
Okay.
To contact me.
Yeah.
Or I could contact them. We'll see how it goes. And say we want an installation in multiple, one in each city.
Oh.
Something like that where I'm connecting right. through art. These locations.
So if you did that,
the way that it connects neighborhoods in Atlanta.
I like it. So, but if you did that, each installation would be unique, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't make like a right? mass.
No, it would be suited to the city.
It would be suited to the city.
When you went, you would want to find the Starbucks or the Marriott or
that happens
whatever
to have
that has this, because you would want to collect all the cities. You'd want to see how
right
what these differences are. The reason that people want to go to all these neighborhoods to see the doors, to see the differences between them. To embrace what makes us different, and also yeah. to have something. When I'm standing in front of the door in Cabbage Town, I love that it's connecting me to the old Fourth Ward.
Yeah.
I love that it's connecting me to the Center for Puppetry Arts, you know, and I feel like that feeling could be translated through the art that I want to do. So I'm wishing into action this O Magazine giving even more sort of validity to the project in a way that attracts someone who wants to enable me, because with that money, what I want to do is open a Tiny Door studio where I can help other artists.
Do you have to be really small to get inside, though?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
I don't think that's going to work for
me,
though.
I'm pretty tall. I feel like if I discriminated based on size, it wouldn't be very nice.
Okay. Karen, I very much appreciate you being here, telling us about your story. You know, you said you're the protector of the magic. I think we're going to have to modify your title and call you protector of the community's magic, because that is really what you're doing. Thanks for being a part of
yeah,
Atlanta.
Thanks
for
so much.
The art. Thanks for everything that you do. Okay.
That's an honor. Thanks for having me.